This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
An organization called Mothers Against Peer Pressure, formed by a Southern California housewife, has started up Mothers Against Peer Pressure, and it is an organization that claims to address one of the bigger dangers facing our kids, and that is the pressure from peers to do things that might be destructive or dangerous. Bobby and Steve Dooley join us from their home in Western States, California, and thank you for joining us this evening, Bobby.
Thank you, Phil.
Can you tell us what your inspiration was for Mothers Against Peer Pressure?
Yes. First of all, Phil, I'd like to say that our organization was inspired by Mothers Against Drunk Driving and Students Against Drunk Driving. We know how organizations like Mothers Against Drunk Driving and Students Against Drunk Driving, we know how they feel. That's why we formed Mothers Against Peer Pressure. We don't want our children victimized as well. And we recently, my husband and I, were faced with that very thing. Our son was victimized by another child. He was forced into speeding. He had been ticketed. I'm still suffering from the shock of it. I never thought that we would be victimized this way.
Well, tell us what happened and how this case led to the forming of Mothers Against Peer Pressure.
My son, his name is Dylan. He's 16, and pardon me if I get emotional because he's my firstborn. My Dylan was following this friend of his, and I'm going to mention the boy's name, and I really don't care what the parents think. The boy's name is Greg Russell, and this Greg Russell kid was in a car ahead of Dylan. They were going up Western Estates Boulevard. And then this Greg kept going faster and faster, and my Dylan obviously is trying to keep up because of the peer pressure. So as Greg is going faster and faster, my Dylan is in his car, which is a Dodge Durango. Greg was driving his father's Lexus, I forget. So he's going faster to keep up. The L.A. sheriff told us that Greg had reached speeds of over 80 miles an hour.
Well, now your son did as well, right?
Well, yes, he did, but he was only following this Russell kid. This wasn't done out of my son's own volition. He was forced to keep up, apparently, with this Russell kid because he's a real hot rodder. Okay, so...
Well, so this Russell kid is going 80, and your son is trying to keep up with him, and he's doing 80.
Because of the peer pressure.
Okay.
So now this Russell kid makes a quick turn onto Bougainvillea, and my Dylan didn't have a chance. The police say that they have on video, Dylan's Durango apparently became airborne, went over a park fence.
Good God.
Hit a picnic table. It gets better. Where, according to the police, there was a field trip picnic going on. And are you familiar with these children that are specially disadvantaged and retarded?
Yeah, well, they have field trips for them, yeah.
Well, apparently it hit a picnic table. I said to the officer, are you telling me that this school for disadvantage would be so stupid as to have their picnic that close to the roadway?
Well, you said there was a fence separating the park from the road.
It doesn't matter. You saw what happened to my Dylan trying to keep up with this Russell kid who is the culprit here. Listen to me, you parents out there. You parents of kids. Oh, my God.
My wife's upset, Mr. Hendry.
I can understand that.
You parents of kids that force other kids to do wrong, you will not corrupt our children. My Dylan's Durango apparently landed on a picnic table where disadvantaged children were eating because one of your kids, under peer pressure, made him do something he knew he shouldn't do.
And well, let me ask you, how are these kids... Your son's Durango leapt a fence, came down on a picnic table where disadvantaged kids were having a field trip?
Yes.
How are these children?
Oh, they're fine. In fact, if there was any good that came out of this, Dylan was telling me that actually was kind of funny to see the kids scatter. The car was coming. The kids didn't have a chance. And they saw potato salad. One of the kids wound up laying in some Jell-O. So it was a little, you know, it was a little humorous considering what could have happened. So really what we're saying, Mothers Against Peer Pressure, we stand with Mothers Against Drunk Driving and Students Against Drunk Drivers in wanting to protect our children. Because my son was forced to do something that could have...
Well, it could have killed him. Can I say something?
Yes. There's a wheelchair. One of the disadvantaged children's wheelchair is shoved up the oil pan.
Your boy is still alive. He didn't die. Your kid's in the same category as a drunk driver. He is...
No, Phil, let me explain to you.
He is the instigator. He's not the victim.
Let me explain. It was the Russell boy who was the instigator. It was...
Hold on. I want to give our phone number out, Ms. Dooley.
But you're being very unfair, and you're very, very ignorant, and you don't have the information. Mothers Against Peer Pressure... is aligned with Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
Hold on. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. If you'll listen to me...
You got to read the brochure that we have.
If you'll listen to me, Mothers Against Drunk Driving protects kids who are hit by drunk drivers. Your boy was going fast, you say, because he was a victim of peer pressure.
Absolutely. And let me tell you, he exerted the peer pressure, this Russell boy. He is the one we in Mothers Against Peer Pressure are against. The Russell boy. Ask the mothers out there, ask them, and they will agree with me. How dare you say that my boy Dylan, I am shaking, I am so angry to say that he is the instigator. He was the victim of another boy exerting peer pressure to the point where my boy went over 80 miles an hour through no fault of his own, leapt a curb, leapt a fence, the car was airborne, came down full on a picnic table, could have killed these cripples, as well as did serious damage to the car, because as I said, one of the children's wheelchairs was lodged in the drivetrain. Dylan got out of the car, and
do I have you right when you say that it was one of the more humorous things that to see the kids scatter?
What are you driving at?
Well, I would think that it would be frightening to see if I was sitting in an airborne Durango as it sailed down on poor crippled kids scattering.
He said it was humorous. And my God, we should have some kind of comic relief from a boy who is a known hot rodder leading my child into a high-speed chase on a city street where my boy...
Ms. Dooley, I want to say something. I want to say that I feel your pain. I know you're a mother. I am not trying in any way, shape, or form to discount the real fear that you feel.
Yes.
But
you don't understand.
No, but your son was racing in his car, and...
No, Mr. Henry, you got to understand something. Peer pressure, look at the face of...
Yes, Mr. Dooley.
Peer pressure is exerted on kids, and they don't know what...
Peer pressure, Phil, is exerted on our children. It is crippling them. It is causing them to do things. My boy is not at fault. The Russell boy is. He's out there racing up the road. My boy is chasing... because he's a victim of peer pressure. You have to understand this. I'm a mother. You're not. You have to understand what peer pressure is. Peer pressure can kill your child as quickly as a drunk driver. So that's why Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, and the mothers out there know what I'm talking about. The mothers out there know. They know that peer pressure can kill their children. And so we love Mothers Against Drunk Drivers because they're just like us.
They're just like you.
Yes.
1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, and your boy's Durango was airborne and came down on top of a table being eaten at by
these crippled children.
By disadvantaged children. Here is Cheryl on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Yes, I am
mm-hmm.
a mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a 17-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What your child did
mm-hmm.
at 16
mm-hmm.
was his own fault.
No, let me explain.
Child who
yeah.
was driving in front of
let
him.
Let me explain.
He has a conscience.
Mm-hmm.
He is accountable.
Mm-hmm. No.
No one pushed his
mm-hmm.
foot to that floor
mm-hmm.
on the accelerator.
Mm-hmm. Let me explain.
You obviously
pressure.
Were taught in.
Mm-hmm.
He obviously was taught
mm-hmm.
right from wrong somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was.
He made
mm-hmm.
a conscious decision.
Do you see what we're saying here, Bobby?
No, let me explain something to both of you, what peer pressure is.
I know what
my
peer
boy,
pressure is.
My boy is a good boy. He's never done anything wrong. He has his own Dodge Durango. He was in trouble with the police once. And you know, you want to know what happened, Cheryl? It was a trumped-up date rape charge. They never proved a thing. He has been victimized time and again by sluts, and now by this juvenile delinquent friend of his.
So do you not believe your son has the ability to make good decisions?
Absolutely, and he did make a good decision.
He made a good decision
yes.
by getting behind mm-hmm. that young man and driving at those rates of speed.
But he didn't want to.
He was
forced into it.
Did. He was not forced. Look, he made a conscious decision to feed, to follow this child, and that was a poor decision that he needs to be held accountable for. I am fed up with parents making excuses for their children. They have to learn.
They have to.
This world has problems it has because we refuse to accept responsibility for our own actions.
Cheryl, I'd like to send you a brochure for Mothers Against Peer Pressure, and it might help you
thank
understand.
You. It might I am not interested in your group. You want to blame somebody other than yourself or your child.
But our kids are good kids.
My kid's a good kid, too, but he makes bad choices
at times. You know, so
I was a good kid and
Dylan
made bad choices.
Dylan's made a
and I'm
bad.
Now 40 years old,
but,
and I have hopefully learned from those bad
But you
choices.
Have to understand there's a lot of sluts out there, and I'm not trying to say anything about anyone's child. There are sluts.
You most certainly are, lady.
Juvenile delinquents, and they lead my boy astray.
And
well,
your child made a poor choice.
Cheryl,
it's not their fault.
The reason,
it is his choice.
The reason why I wanted to send you a brochure is it possible your children are instigators and you don't know? Because
I'm sure my son is.
You need to know the difference between the instigator
is.
And the victim.
And but right now... Lady, listen to this.
Okay.
My son made poor choices.
It's the flux.
My son is now signing up for boot camp to the United States Navy because he realized he was the only person accountable and responsible.
And did he kill any children with his peer pressure, or is he fortunate?
Lady, my son was in juvenile detention because he made bad choices. Nobody forced him.
Good.
To do
well, I'm glad
he
you got him off
made
the street.
The choice.
Yeah, but this lady is saying her son's taking responsibility. Why doesn't yours?
Because, you see, Phil, her son was an instigator. My son's a victim. And there's a very big difference. And in our brochure, you know, Cheryl, I don't want to judge you, but you sound like you were not a very strong mother.
I am a very strong mother. Why do you think my son is now going into the United States Navy?
Right. Well, maybe you need some help for not being home enough. Or
I was home enough.
Okay, look, Cheryl, I think you've made...
You don't know anything about me,
Well, you sound not too strong.
Okay, look,
It's the sluts, Cheryl. It's the sluts and the juvenile delinquents.
No, it's
trying
not,
to do
lady.
It's the sluts.
It's right. Accountability.
No. All right, Cheryl, good point. Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Bobby Dooley, founder of Mothers Against Peer Pressure. Her son, she says, was forced into speeding at 80 miles an hour. His car became airborne. He could have killed a group of kids in a park. And is it her son's fault? No, it's the fault of this other boy who led her son on this wild chase. And so she formed Mothers Against Peer Pressure so that her kid won't be victimized again by what she calls sluts and juvenile delinquents who lead him astray. 1-800-449-8686 is the number here. And she, by the way, says that her organization is just like Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, protecting our kids. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Let me go to a quick phone call here with Bobby Dooley, founder of Mothers Against Peer Pressure. It's the peer pressure that forces kids into doing things that they shouldn't do. Melanie, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, Bonnie. I would just like to make a quick comment. I am 22 years old. I was in high school. I dealt with peer pressure. And I never fell into it. Your son could stand up to this peer pressure. If you do not blame him or you do not hold him responsible, we're just going to make him a better person in the end.
I'm sorry.
I went to all the parties. All my friends drank. All my friends smoked. I never did that. I had a good time with him. I never did it. I never had trouble with the law. But you are not holding yourself responsible makes me sick.
I'm sorry. You must have been mistaken for some slut who lets her daughter run around with everything hanging out and forces my boy into making a decision. Do I go ahead and go for it, or do I not?
Do you understand that your son is not going to become a better person by you not holding him accountable for anything he does?
Of course I hold. You know, when he was young, we had washed and waxed the floor, and he came in and he spread Comet all over a brand new wash and waxed kitchen floor, and I tanned his rear end. So, yes, we hold him accountable. But he just hasn't done anything wrong since then. You see?
No, I don't understand at all.
Okay, what I'm saying is, the last time he did anything wrong, he was 3. Now he's 17, and he still hasn't done anything wrong.
Wait a minute.
How has he not done anything wrong?
Because he's a good boy. He's a good boy.
Every mother thinks their children are the perfect children.
What is this date rape?
My son was enticed by this slut at a high school dance. She forced him into thinking the phrase that I guess every boy thinks one time or another, should I give it to this bitch or not? You know what I'm saying?
So your son, because he has hormones and he wanted to do something with this girl, makes her a slut? I don't understand that either.
Of course.
Because it's your son? What if it was someone else?
Melanie, there's an old saying, if my uncle had wheels and pedals, he'd be a bicycle. So we can't really engage in ifs. We only know what is. And I have a good boy, and the fact that his Durango came down on top of a table full of disadvantaged children isn't his fault.
No, it's the fault of Greg Russell, hot rodder and juvenile delinquent.
And what do you think this mother thinks of her daughter? She doesn't think her daughter's a slut.
Well, he went ahead and gave it to her. And then they say it's date rape. What's that mean?
He went ahead and gave it to her.
A joke. You're a total joke.
I'm a joke.
You are a total joke.
How do you figure that?
Because you don't hold your son responsible for anything.
I said.
I know many kids that never drink, never smoke. They have nice cars. They don't drive them fast just because their friend is driving fast. They make their own decisions.
Well, I don't know what world you live in.
He knows right from wrong, correct?
He gave it to this bitch, 14 and a half.
Will you watch your language?
Different ways.
All right, thank you. Here's Lauren on the Phil Henry Show. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, first off, could we turn her down because this me trying to talk is
I am simply
out of line.
I'm listening to what people are saying.
Yeah, well, chill with it.
You know something? You can't tell me what to do.
Well, first off, how long
right,
have
turn,
people been?
Turn her down.
How long have people been daring other people to do other to do stuff?
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, ever since I've been in school, I've been
who's that?
This and that, It's the responsibility of the person to say, no, I ain't doing it. You know?
I don't get it.
You don't get it?
No.
Well, Captain Peer Pressure Russell over there, whatever.
Greg Russell.
Yeah, there's your kid.
He's a piece of garbage.
Oh, whatever. Anyway. Your kid is behind the wheel.
Yeah.
Somebody goes, ooh, dude, go fast.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And it's the responsibility of your kid to say, you know what? No, I'm not doing it.
Oh, sure, and be laughed at school and be called gay and everything else. No.
Hey.
No. No,
better than he'd be laughed at school and be alive. What if your boy was dead today?
Well, he's not going to be dead, Phil. He's a very good driver.
Very good driver?
Yeah.
His Durango's airborne, and it came down on top of a picnic table.
Look, young man, this wasn't a game of truth or dare. This was peer pressure.
Oh, I see.
Lauren, hold on.
Columbine.
Lauren, hold on for a minute.
Columbine was peer pressure.
Yeah, right. Hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Bobby Dooley, founder of Mothers Against Peer Pressure. Her son went 81 miles an hour and almost killed 5 people, but it wasn't his fault. It was peer pressure. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
All right, let's go to Denise. Hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Bobby Dooley and Steve Dooley of Mothers Against Peer Pressure.
I'm here.
Denise, go right ahead.
I'd like to, Mrs. Julie, I would like to address you from one mother to another how upset and sad I am that you are allowing your son to use this cop-out to not be a responsible person. Columbine was not peer pressure. Those children, yes, those children were teased and those children were ridiculed, but their parents should have had the strength to raise those children in a home where they had self-confidence and they could say no and not worry about whether somebody was going to call them a name.
Well, the Columbine boys, the Columbine boys were fine.
I am telling you this, your son is responsible for what he did.
Wait a minute.
Nobody else, because he has a mind of his own.
No.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me the Columbine kids were normal kids, but someone called them pizza face and they snapped?
Yes. I don't understand.
Please.
Oh.
You know what?
You know,
I got made fun of growing up, and I didn't go into my school and shoot people.
My boy is a good boy, but
you know what? I am not saying your boy isn't a good boy, but he had a lapse in judgment.
And you know what they did?
And you should have been a good enough parent and a strong enough parent to teach him to know that he can say no and not have to worry about what somebody else thinks. Because it doesn't matter what somebody else thinks.
I told him to stay away from this Russell boy.
Well,
he's not allowed to go near him.
You should have done a better job.
Well, you know, we sat down and we talked.
Bottom line is, your son is responsible for his actions, no one else. He was behind the wheel.
He's
the one
that
stuck the keys in the ignition and turned it on. And he's the one that drove. Don't tell me, honey.
How do you figure that he's responsible, honey?
Why are you calling her honey?
He's driving the vehicle. How do you figure he's not, honey?
Wait a second. Oh, so now you're going to call me honey?
Well, if you want to call me honey, I'm going to call you honey.
Oh, you know something? You're really pissing me off. And number
well,
one,
you know what?
Are you
I'm
a mother?
Sure you really
are you
upset the people whose children were sitting at that picnic table,
that
too.
That counselor who put those retarded kids on a highway to
whoa.
Have their cookie snack.
Whoa, you are rude. Calling
what?
These children a name like that? They have no control over what is the
I
matter with them.
I didn't say that they did.
That
I'm
is something,
saying.
Well, you don't call them a derogatory name like
well,
that.
Don't
the line is,
you
your
don't...
son was behind the wheel, your son stuck the key in the
well,
ignition.
How's that his fault?
Your son is responsible for his actions.
How's that
are you
fault?
Telling me that somebody stuck their foot on his foot and pushed the gas down? That makes it not his fault?
Yes, Greg Russell exerted peer pressure. And these retards
was
that
his exertion of peer pressure his foot on your son's foot?
Yes. Now the retards that were in the
his foot
car.
Over on your son's foot?
Yes.
Is that what you're telling me? That he stuck his foot across the center console and put his foot on your son's foot?
Spiritually and psychologically, yes.
Oh, please.
Look,
what are you? Who are you brainwashed
you
by?
You don't park a group of retards near a road and expect them not to be nailed by a flying Dodge Durango.
Well, what the hell was the Dodge Durango doing flying? Think about it.
Because Greg Russell forced him to go airborne.
How ignorant do you have to be to not realize that your son is responsible?
Don't you understand that your son was the one who, just as the lady said...
Phil, I won't be yelled at. I've been through enough.
Nobody's yelling at you. We're trying to knock some sense into your head.
And the police impounded the car, which is absolutely outrageous. Now he has to
it was involved in a crime, woman. What do you think that we're going to do?
Give it back to my boy. It wasn't his fault. Let the Russell boys car be impounded. And my boy gets
to
drive
to his
job. My boy
when
got a job.
When his friends say, hey, this will be fun, let's go in and rob the store.
Yes.
And while you're at it, shoot the guy in the head. Is that going to be not his fault, too? Because, they told him to do it?
It depends on the circumstance.
Oh,
if
no,
you call
it
kid,
depends.
If you call a kid pizza face.
You're lacking in parental experience. And
you know what? If
and
you call a kid pizza face,
could not
and
raise
he shoots
child
you,
to
I think
have
you understand
enough
that.
Self-esteem
oh my
to
God.
Say no.
No, that's exactly right. And what do you mean it was funny watching those poor retarded children scatter?
My
you know
son,
what?
My son said it was humorous as the car was coming down to see the kids trying to get away. They were in wheelchairs or something. I don't know.
Well, you know what? If that's not guilt, I don't know what it is.
What's guilt?
Guilt.
He said it was funny. Thank God they weren't hurt. They were just scampering away on artificial legs or whatever.
Well, what if one of them would have fallen down? You are a sick woman.
How do you figure that?
You need to be committed.
One of them's missing, by the way. They don't know. That's why they impounded the car, because they think the child has somehow been wedged under the car. I don't know.
Well, my God, that's hilarious.
I mean, don't you think so?
No, she's being facetious.
What? You don't? Oh, you were joking.
I don't.
You don't think that's funny?
I'm talking about small children's lives, small children who depend on somebody else to take care of them. They have them out for an outing where they were supposed to have fun and be safe.
Okay.
And your son, because he is an idiot and can't say no, sticks his foot on the gas and airborne's his car and lands on their table. And you're trying to blame it on somebody else?
All right, then let me ask you this.
If you do not make your son take responsibility for his actions, he will never take responsibility for his actions. And society.
Let me ask you this. Who's going to pay for the crutches that were taken out of the wheel well? Yeah, don't have an answer for that, do you?
You should.
I should? I wasn't the retard that was...
Will you not use that word anymore?
I'm calling you a retard because you're not using much common sense.
Your kid was the one that landed on the table. The crutches got jammed up into his wheel well. You pay for it.
Oh, my
Amen.
God. You've both gone insane.
No,
you've
actually,
both gone insane.
You just haven't realized it yet.
And get a new phone. You're going like... That's what it sounds like. It sounds ridiculous.
All right. Look, thank you very much.
See, now
Anytime.
You're laughing. Now you see how funny it is.
You're funny.
All right, look, Denise, thank you. Marge, go ahead. You're on a Phil Henry show. Margie.
Oh, here I am.
Go ahead, dear.
Well, first, I thought that this had to be made up.
Margie, are you on a handheld phone of some kind?
I'm actually on what I call my car phone, which is a phone in a parking lot.
Okay, dear, you're a little scratchy, but go ahead. We'll just jack you up. Go ahead.
All right.
Jack her up?
I mean,
we're going to turn her up.
Thank you.
Jesus.
I thought that this had to be made up, because I have never heard anyone so ignorant, obnoxious, and ridiculous. And further, it's a good thing that she wasn't at my high school when I was 16 getting called fatso, because, gosh, maybe if I'd had a gun, I could have shot her. But
no, I'm talking about boys that are called pizza face.
Excuse me. I think it's very clear that you don't know how to listen, because through every...
Well, can I ask you something? Are you still a fatso?
Excuse me.
Are you
I'm
still
not...
A...
Excuse me.
Are you still a fatso?
Excuse me. You don't know how to listen. You have hauled your way through every single comment that every single person has made. You've not heard a thing that anyone said.
Are you...
And I'm certain that that's exactly how your son is cruising through life.
So, in other words,
you
don't want to admit about your weight.
Enough... I refuse to talk while you're talking. If you want to jam for 5 minutes, go ahead.
I need for one of you guys to be quiet, and I would like Bobby to do that so Margie can talk.
Well,
I just asked her if she's still large.
I am not even going to go there, because that's not what this call is about. Phil's got limited time, and I'm going to use it to say these following things. One, I think that it's so amazing, and this further makes me think that this is made up, that someone can sit in wherever you are and bandy about words such as slut and bitch and crippled and retards, and then
who?
Consider that that's comic relief. I think that's pretty amazing. Now, what you're suggesting...
My son thought it was funny when he saw the Crips running away.
Now, there it is. There's Crips.
I think...
You know, Marge, you said you were called Fatso as a kid.
Yes.
Did they call you Marge the Barge?
Oh, of course.
There you go. See? And it's funny.
It's not.
And it feels good.
Now, the person is suggesting it.
Yes.
In Michigan, please stop talking while I'm talking.
You're just pissed because you have to buy 2 airline tickets.
Okay.
Anyway,
obviously,
can I finish this?
Do you own a gun?
Hey, you know what, Marge?
Michigan.
Do you own a gun? She's almost done. Look, both of your phones have kind of crapped out, so we need to... And she was going to start in about talking about the Michigan Wolverines or so. I don't know. All right. 1-800-449. Thank you very much, Ms. Dooley. Good luck with Mothers Against Peer Pressure. Pizza face. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Time for another Comedy Gold Nugget from our archives. On yesterday's show, David Hall and Bobby Dooley. By the way, that was me doing the voice of Bobby Dooley in the preceding bit. And in this following bit, I do the voices of David Hall and Bobby Dooley, where they're talking to a caller about how they're disgusted with the fact that I did this whole political rap yesterday. I did this whole rap about Pakistan and India and Israel and Palestine and the war on terror. And David and Bobby came on to say that's not why they listen to this show. They listen to this show for the shtick.
And Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
May I ask a question?
Yes, dear.
What is the capacity of that moron that's your assistant, whatever the hell he
is? Wait a minute. You're talking about me?
I'm talking about you. Get the hell off the phone. I want to talk to Phil.
He is the program, he is the vice president of syndication for my show.
Well, what's his IQ? 10?
You called me a moron.
Yes, you talk like one.
How do I talk like one?
You talk like a moron. You try to impress the people you're talking to like you're very educated, but I think you have to go back to school and learn your history. Shut up and listen!
I know stuff!
Just shut up and listen for once. You talk too much. Listen a little bit more.
I talk too much?
Yes.
You know where the Middle East is?
Do I? I've been there 3 times.
Yeah, but do you know where it is?
No, it's in the moon up there. I don't want to answer your question.
You don't make no sense.
I told you I wanted it.
Yes, go ahead,
are you
Sylvia.
The boss there? I mean,
I'm the boss of Mr. Hendry, okay?
And you are. Excuse me. May I get an answer? Are you with Phil Hendry's boss?
Yes, I am.
Do you own the station?
Do I own the station? I own the show.
You are. Are you own the
you
show? Wanna, but are you? Are
you want to get tough about it?
No, I'm asking a question. I'm not telling
are
you anything.
Are you Jewish? Are you Jewish?
That's none of your business.
See, that's why you're getting upset.
You don't know a damn thing about what I am.
You're Jewish and you're bumming out because he ain't talking about Israel.
You're full of
Watch your language, Sylvia, if you wouldn't mind.
I know. If I know how to spell it, I can say it.
Listen to the potty mouth on her, will you?
You know what? You know what he is, Phil.
You know what, Sylvia? Nobody
Excuse me. Shut up. I want to talk to Phil. Phil?
Yes, ma'am.
I mean this sincerely.
You know, one of the things that I want
to
say...
Well, shut your mouth for 2 seconds.
Go ahead, Sylvia.
What I want to know is, what is his capacity?
Over there in Iran, you can't
he won't shut his mouth. Is he going to shut up for 2 minutes?
Shut up, David.
You tell me to shut up?
May I ask a question,
No
Phil?
One tells me to shut up.
Be quiet. Yes, go ahead, Sylvia.
Does he own the station?
No.
What does he own there? I mean, what's his capacity?
I own Phil Hendry's... ASS.
That's what you are.
I'm a what?
That's exactly what you just spoke is what you are. You're an ignorant ass.
I'm an ignorant ass.
Yes.
Look, nobody wants to talk about Pakistan and all that baloney.
This has nothing to do with Pakistan and all that baloney. I simply wanted to ask Phil Hendry a couple of questions. If you don't mind.
What about me? Don't you want to ask me?
No, I'm going to ask him about you. I don't have to ask you.
I'm a fascinating guy.
Excuse me, do you own the station?
No, I don't own the station.
Well, what is your capacity there?
I am the vice president of syndication in charge of production programming schedules.
Of what? The whole...
of the subception.
Radio station?
No, subsection 4.
What is that?
That's the delineation of the production manual. So what we do is we move in and out of those areas. And I am the one that more or less is the gatekeeper for subsection 6.
In other words,
Division 3.
If you keep quiet for 5 minutes,
well,
maybe you'll be able to answer your question.
I'm trying to give it a whole answer, okay?
No, you don't have to. Just what I asked.
Right,
Do you own...
Division 4, not Division 3, I'm sorry.
Do you own the station?
Do I own the station?
Yes.
What state, what call
it? You're WLRN, or you're the New York station that you're talking from.
Yeah, I'm a New York station.
Where Phil Hendry is talking
from. Where Phil Hendry is talking out of right now is WACK in New York.
Not WLRN?
No, WLRN's picking it up. We're at WACK in New York.
Are you talking from New York now?
I'm speaking from New York right now.
We're in New York because I'm a New Yorker. You know, before I lived in Florida.
Have you ever heard of Brooklyn?
Lincoln High School in Brooklyn. Wait a minute.
Have you ever heard of Brooklyn,
excuse
ma'am?
Me. Will you listen for 2 minutes?
You wanted to know
I went to Brooklyn College.
I'm in a place called Flatbush.
Flatbush. Will you listen? Okay, listen to me.
Will you listen to the lady?
No, I heard you. You're Kim. You're from Flatbush.
She doesn't know.
You're from the same neighborhood I am.
I'm from Flatbush.
That's where I'm from. I'm from Flatbush.
Right. Alphabet City.
Okay, listen to me.
Alphabet City, and it's in New York.
Would you listen a minute? Would you answer my question? Would you come up for air? Would you come up for air for 2 minutes?
What do you need?
I have a few questions I wanted answered. That's all.
Why, sure.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm from Brooklyn. I'm a graduate. Would you please listen? I'm a graduate of Lincoln High School and Brooklyn College.
I never heard of it.
You never heard of Lincoln High School and Brooklyn College?
I don't.
And you come from Brooklyn?
No, wait a minute. Are you sure that's in Brooklyn?
Of course. Where else is it?
No, I don't.
Lincoln High School is in Brighton.
No. Nobody's ever heard of it.
Nobody's heard of Brighton, near Coney Island.
No, ma'am.
You never heard of Coney Island?
No, ma'am.
Come on, you're pulling my leg.
I'm not pulling your leg.
Well, Phil Henry knows Coney Island.
Yeah,
that's
I know
Kim.
Coney Island. Yeah, that's great.
Thank you.
Yeah,
do you know Brooklyn? And I went to Brooklyn College.
Where's that?
Near Flatbush Avenue, not far.
Is that in Brooklyn?
Yes. That's why it's called Brooklyn College.
You're making this up?
Look, where are we going with all of this, okay?
Because I wanted him to know.
We're
because
in Brooklyn.
Bill,
we're
I
in
wanted
New York.
To know I'm from Brooklyn. That's all.
Yeah, okay.
That I'm familiar with what he said.
All right. Well, that's very good. And
were you a rock kid?
Never mind.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy Gold.
And whenever you get you get in the mood, man, you can check out our audio archives on the Phil Henry website, plus our 30-day archive, which has all the last 30 days' worth of shows archived there for you. We have our webcast archive. We've got probably more of the best radio comedy ever heard on our website than anywhere else. All you need is a backstage pass, and to get that, log on to philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. While you're there, visit our souvenir shop, pick up a Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, or one of our Best of the Phil Henry Show CDs for the Phil Henry fan in your life. We'll be right back.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
Oh, by the way, if you want to get into the funniest word contest, just send us a word that you think is funnier than the record holder right now. And for the sixth consecutive week now, the funniest word that we've ever heard is the word, and this is now six week on the chart, crotch. C-R-O-T-C-H, crotch. If you think you've got a word that's funnier than that, you're welcome to send it to Phil Henry Show, Premier Radio Networks in Sherman Oaks, California. But make sure that it is funny or other it won't get on the air. So far, sixth week now for crotch. Okay, 1-800-449-8686 is our number. Okay, Brass, you back?
Yes, sir, Mr. Henry.
Okay, now tell me the story between you and the girlfriend.
Well, right now, my girlfriend got promoted, okay, from working as a receptionist in this doctor's office to working as, okay, an office manager, and she's now making more money than me.
Okay.
Because right now, I work at the Cloverleaf, which is a steakhouse in Monrovia.
And what are you doing there?
I work as a valet.
How much does that pay?
Right now, minimum wage plus tips, so I'm doing about $250 a week, which is not bad. But currently, my girlfriend, she got promoted to an office manager from receptionist, and she makes more money than me right now.
And well, what does all of this do to you?
Well, it upsets Hispanic people. It upsets the work that I'm doing to empower young Latin men to lead our people. I mean, the Hispanic people of America to political self-determination.
Okay, you got an organization called Los Malos.
All right. Why are you asking me the name?
Because I want to know the name.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. That's like a form of interrogation. Like you're questioning me, like a cop or something. You're like a cop. You know.
No, I mean I'm not. I don't think you're a criminal. I'm just asking you. I just want to know.
But in the charter for Los Malos, we don't want people okay to interrogate us like criminals.
All right. I can assure you, I don't think you're a criminal. Is the name of your organization Los Malos?
All right. Yes. We are Los Malos, which is Spanish.
What does that mean? The bad?
No, well, it means the men. It means like I'm a man. Because we want to be seen as men with self-determination for the political and economic emancipation of the Hispanic people through pride in our culture. But my girlfriend getting this job...
Well, that looks to me like she's making more money and she's improving herself.
Well, technically, no, because her economic empowerment is done at the expense of my pride. She makes more money than me, and she's an office manager, and I'm a valet trying to get economic self-determination.
Okay, tell me that again. You want the economic empowerment of young Latin men. Your girlfriend got a job. She was a receptionist at a doctor's office.
Right.
And she got promoted to office manager.
That's correct.
And that somehow is bothering you because it doesn't work for the economic self-determination of Hispanic people?
It does not work for the economic... Okay. It doesn't work for the economic self-determination of Hispanic men because in our culture... It is the men who are in the forefront, the women who are at home, like to take care of the house, and you know, I'm not.
Well, you can hold on for a minute. You can raise yourself up from parking cars to working as a host or a food server at the restaurant, can't you?
Well, first off, Mr. Henry, I would like to say that I believe, and Los Malos believes, the term parking car is slightly racist. I mean,
you're a valet.
Yes, sir.
All right, you're a valet instead of parking cars.
But it's not important to me having to work harder to do better than it is for her to help the self-image of a Hispanic male not trying to show me up and outshine me. It's so very important for me as the head of Los Malos to show an example of Hispanic economic self-determination. Right now, it's pivotal for young Hispanic men who have been displaced like me. And I think all women of young Latin men should work at that. Last night, she came in our room that we have at my mother's house. And she says to me, let's go to the zoo at San Diego. And I'm like, that's racist because I'm estranged from my people and my culture.
You know, wait a minute. You're estranged from your people and your culture. Therefore, it's racist to go to the zoo?
Right now, you see, you're making jokes.
And I possibly, I don't understand it.
Well, first of all, you call me, I'm parking cars. I'm a vehicle relocation specialist with the valet. Okay.
But what is racist about the zoo?
It's not the zoo, it's San Diego. She used Spanish terms that I'm not familiar with because I was born in America, and therefore, my mother country, Mexico, I don't know anything about or how to say its names.
San Diego is Spanish for...
Please, I'd rather you not tell me, all right?
Okay.
I would rather an Anglo not tell me. I don't need you educating me on my culture.
But what did your girlfriend do to you?
Well, you need to understand Latin culture. The man, he's much stronger, and he leads the family, and the women, she must support that. Say, here's my bitch making more money than me. She throws San Diego and stuff in my face like she knows how to pronounce it and stuff. She's saying to me the other day that they had a new president in Mexico, and I didn't know that because I was born in America and not into poverty in Mexico, and that's racist in a way because I don't know the suffering of my people.
Well, you can read a newspaper and you can know the name of the president. Isn't that right?
What?
You can read a newspaper and you can know the name of the president of Mexico.
Well, that's one thing, but I don't read Anglo papers. I only read papers from Mexico.
But you don't learn. You don't know how to speak Spanish.
That's right. So
then learn to speak Spanish.
But the Anglo has told me to learn English, so he's being racist on me. And on top of that, my woman, she knows Spanish stuff and tells me about it and makes me feel as if I have no manhood, and she makes more money. Los Malos gonna stand for this.
Well, buddy, you got a real problem. You want to lead the Hispanic community, yet by your own admission, you know nothing of Latin culture.
Please understand, I didn't come on your Anglo-white river dance Irish-ass show to be lectured by an audience.
You know, you're not going to speak to me that way, Kay. It's your predicament, and by the way, if you don't speak Spanish, how do you know what Los Malos means?
Because I had to believe the guy who told me what it meant. I mean, it's bad. That's what the Yankees did to me and making me grow up in the private school and stuff.
So what's the answer? What is the answer to your predicament? You want to lead the Hispanic people, and yet your girlfriend makes more money than you, so you don't want the woman making more money than you because that's anti your culture.
Look, I've got to right now fill out an application. If I get the job and work hard, I could get floor manager. So the message is this. Los Malos wants young Latin men to get empowered. And then the women who are in our culture are traditionally the mothers and the baby. Then the women can get economically empowered, too.
But the guy's got to get empowered first. Is that it?
We just don't want the women to make us lose our manhood because we can't lead the organization is all.
1-800-449-8686. I didn't like that whole Riverdance Irish ass show either.
Well, you're on here like disrespecting my culture.
Well, we'll see whether it's your culture or not, okay?
I happen to be Hispanic. Don't get up in my face about that, okay? That is so wrong.
I don't doubt that you're Hispanic, but I doubt seriously whether there is a grip on the culture that you say you want to lead. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show, Brass Villanueva from the group Los Malos. His girlfriend got promoted to office manager from receptionist. She's now making more money than him because he is a vehicle relocation specialist at a restaurant. He parks cars. And
see, that's racist, all right? And you are trying to...
There's nothing racist about me saying that you park cars.
No, but that is like putting a foot on the neck of the Latin man, all right?
Yeah, it's my fault, man. You know, just blame me. And
I'm not saying you're to blame. I'm just saying, you know, try to empower me for my economic self-determination.
I'll try to empower you, you try to empower you, and we'll try and get your girlfriend to understand that you need a little support at home. How about that?
Don't make it sound like I'm some kind of pussy who needs my woman to... I mean, what's that about? All I'm saying is that the Anglo culture does not understand that the Latin male needs to be empowered economically, and the only way I can do that, I can't go out and park cars. My girlfriend is an office manager, and she's making probably like $2,000 more a month than me, and how can I take my bitch out and to dinner or out to the movie show or something like that? It's not fair. And she thinks, the other thing is, she doesn't stop throwing her money around like that, saying, hey, San Diego, hey, let's go to Caliente, make more money than me. I mean, she's probably been sniffing too much Aquanet if she's going to be trying that.
Well, what are you going to do? You going to throw her out?
I am going to tell her. I'll give her the ultimatum. Yes, sir.
What kind of an ultimatum? You're going to say, you got to quit your job.
You got to quit your job. You got to go back to your receptionist job.
You got to quit making more money than me or you're out of my life.
That is correct.
Now, you guys are living right now in a room that you rent from her mother?
From her mother. That's right.
All right. Do you have a kid?
We got a baby daughter, right.
And forgive me, I don't mean to be racist. Are you married?
What is that supposed to mean?
I'm just asking the question.
No, you asking a question. You'd only ask a Latin male. What does that mean?
No, I would ask that question of anybody. Are you married? You got a kid. Are you married?
Currently, we are not. No.
Okay, fine. I just wanted to know if you're married. And
well, but why would you ask that question?
I just wanted to know, man. So you're renting a room from her mother. You have a baby daughter. She's now working as an office manager. You're still parking cars, and you feel like that's disrespectful to you.
That she's making more money than me? Yeah. How would you feel if your woman were making more money than you?
And I'd quit, man. I'd quit my gig. I'd sit at home and I'd kick it. That's what I do.
Well, I'm a Latin male. I got more, you know, pride than that, okay?
Yeah. 1-800-449-8686. Brass Villanueva from Los Malos. He's campaigning for the economic self-determination of his people, the Hispanic people, but it's pissing him off that his girlfriend makes more money than him. He also, interestingly enough, says that he is a major proponent of Hispanic culture, but he doesn't speak Spanish, and it makes him angry that his girlfriend throws around terms like San Diego. Get him back on the line for just a minute. Brass?
Yeah.
Okay. Why does it bother you that your girlfriend says San Diego?
Because she knows what it means.
She knows what San Diego means in Spanish?
She can interpret it into English, right.
And you don't?
No. And see, that's the part... I mean, it pisses me off, man. There's no doubt about it.
So every time she says San Diego Zoo, you get pissed?
Right.
Okay, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
And now, Phil Hendry.
Right, because my father worked for IBM.
Your father worked for IBM in Mexico City.
Right, then they, and one of the lowest things that could ever happen, they relocated him to L.A., brutally uprooted him from his native land.
Your father's from Mexico?
Yeah.
And they brutally uprooted him from his native land and moved him to L.A.?
Right.
Where were you born?
I was born in Sherman Oaks.
Sherman Oaks, and where do you live now?
I live, okay, this does not mean nothing, but I live in Encino with my parents right now because I will want, I mean, I don't live with my parents right now, but I do go back there occasionally for dinner on Sunday.
But right now you're living in a room at your girlfriend's mother's house with your baby, and you're going to throw her out of her own home?
That is correct.
If she doesn't, well, I don't know how you're going to do that.
Hey, I'm a man, I'm Los Malos, I am the Hispanic male here. No woman is going to tell me. She's going to make more money than me. She has to get out.
Of her own house.
She's got to get out of her own house and her mama, too. So I'll throw both of them out because they are the females.
Well, this dude, this is America, man. This is the year 2001.
No, I get all about equality and everything else, but you can't make me look bad.
All right, I'm going to take a couple of phone calls here.
Yeah, whatever, man. I'm fine.
You don't mind talking to some people?
I'll talk to anybody you got.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Brass Villanueva, his group's called Los Malos. He believes in the economic self-determination of the Hispanic male, and his girlfriend just got a promotion. She makes more money than him, and he feels like he's got no manhood. All right. Jose?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead, sir. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, man, I don't want to respond to this
guy. Your name,
guy.
Jose? Are you Latin?
Yes, I am.
All right.
Yes, I am.
All
mi
right.
Mi padre eres de Guadalajara. ¿Sabes usted? Huh?
Okay, see, you're laying Spanish on me, but the Anglo don't want me to learn Spanish.
It's your fault for not learning.
No,
that.
Man,
if
the
you
Anglo.
You want to know your culture, you got to do it. I mean,
I would leave my people.
Hey, check this out. My father immigrated in the early 20s from Mexico, man, and he came to the United States and to California, and he built a life for himself and my mother. And then he had 13 kids, and we all have done something with ourselves, and he backed us the whole time, and so did my mother.
Right, but we
now
need a leader,
man. I'm married to a Latina.
Does she make more money than you?
Yeah, she sure does.
Man, how can you stand? Are you able to get it up for sex, man? That's the whole thing, you know?
Dude, you don't even have to question that, man.
How's that possible, you know?
Yeah, what kind of a stupid comment is that?
How can you come home to when the woman bring more money home from you, man?
You know what? I love my wife. I've been married to her now for 28 years, and we've got four great kids, and all four girls, and they all make more money than I do.
You
know what? I think it's great.
You speak Spanish?
I do.
Okay, what? All right, this is kind of embarrassing. What is San Diego?
what are you laughing about, brother?
Why are you laughing at me? Why are you laughing at me?
Because you're breaking up. I can't hear you.
I said, what is San Diego?
It's just a city in California.
No, but what does it mean?
What does it mean to you? What does it mean to you?
I don't know. It's Spanish, ain't it?
Well, you know what? You need to learn the language. If you want to know your culture
know
and be proud
of your culture, you what.
I don't want
learn
the Anglo,
your damn language,
I don't
man.
Want the Anglo telling me what it means. I want a brother.
Hey,
I'm
not an Anglo, dude. You're a Latino. Why don't you learn your damn language?
Well, hey, man, don't you know what San Diego means? See, this
hey,
is
Bill.
What I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say I want to lead our people so that for economic self-determination.
What, are you going to tell everybody?
Let me ask you this. What's your name?
What's that?
What's your name?
My name's Brass.
Brass?
Brass, right.
Hey, what kind of education do you have?
Currently, right now, I'm taking GED classes at night.
GED. You know what? I graduated, and I've got a master's degree now, and you're playing Latino in the Anglo world, man.
Well, what do you know about
San Diego? You don't know what the hell you're doing in this life, man. You ought to go ahead and check out.
Dude, what is
San Diego? You're making those Latinos look like...
No,
like,
no, man, I'm just trying to say, what does San Diego mean?
It means St. David or something like that.
That's a saint?
Yeah, it's a saint.
Did you the Anglo?
Yes, I'm the Anglo.
You're not allowed to tell me that. I want to know from this Latin man. Okay?
What do you mean? Every knucklehead knows that. I even know what Los Angeles means.
What?
You don't know.
Mr. Henry, I had the white man, the Anglo didn't want me to learn Spanish. He said only learn English. How can I lead my people if I check out and kill myself? I can't do that.
You don't know what Los Angeles means.
Okay, are you trying to make me look bad in front of a brother, a brown man?
A brother, brown man.
Hey, Mr. Henry, tell you what,
It means the Angels.
Yeah.
Like the baseball team?
Yeah, like the baseball team. Okay, Jose, thank you very much.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah,
hey, you know what? This guy needs to get a life.
No, man. I'm just trying to lead my people to economic self-determination.
Thanks, Bill.
And park cars. Thank you. 1-800-449-8686. Jerry, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi. I'm a Hispanic female, and I'm a service manager for a car dealership, and my husband would never dream of keeping me down. If everybody's going to
That's the whole thing about him. That's all of the Latin men right now. They don't have no, the testicle...
That's very incorrect. My husband makes quite a bit of money himself.
My husband is
college educated.
Is your old man Chicano?
The only person that has a problem is you.
No, is your old man Chicano?
Yes, he is.
He is. And he doesn't mind you making more money. See, do you see, Mr. Henry, how the Latin man has had his balls taken from him and placed
inside
of his woman's
panty
drawer?
Absolutely not. The only one that doesn't have any balls, sir, it sounds like it's you.
I don't have balls.
If you don't like parking cars, then get educated and get out there and pull yourself up out of the gutter.
That's what
parking
I was trying to tell him.
I can say this. I'm not
white. I happen to be a vehicle
relocation.
You need
to get a better job. You know what? Your woman doesn't deserve you. She needs to go on.
Doesn't deserve me? I am Los Malos. I am bad.
You have to me. I can't believe you.
That you would say that.
You know how bad you're making the Mexican people look.
Ma'am, I want to lead my people. First of all, number one.
Lead them? You can't lead anybody. You can't even get yourself out of pulling up cars.
I'm a vehicle relocation specialist, number one. Number two, as soon as I learn Spanish, then you'll see. Then you'll know.
Well, what's taking you so long? You're barely hitting your GED. You couldn't even graduate from high school?
I'm just trying. Right now, I have to support. Okay, tragically, my girlfriend had a baby, so we have to get the money.
That's tragic.
From the standpoint that, like, we're not married and I have to live out back behind the house, okay? But
You shouldn't be living in her mother's house anyway. You're not good enough
to live
with her mother.
I am the man.
You should be the one to leave. She should stay with the mother and keep the baby.
You should
get a job and support them.
I want to get a job, but she went out and she got a job. She got a better job than me, and that insults me.
Bravo for her.
Well, it makes me feel like my balls have been taken from me.
You know what? You're the only one with that problem.
Yeah, I can tell you, I'm sitting here thinking, you're working? Aren't you working?
Yes, I am.
Okay, that's good for you, man. You're working. Your wife or your girlfriend or whatever, she's got a gig. It ain't making you look bad to me.
You're the Anglo, man. I don't need to impress you. I need to impress my people. And the Chicano people...
Well, you know what, sir? You're not impressing anybody. You're embarrassing us.
How can I embarrass you, okay?
This is so embarrassing. I can't believe I just happened to pass this channel and hear this and was absolutely appalled.
We're not in the
early 1900s anymore. We're in the 20th... 2000.
Dude, women are working, men are working, women are making tons of... One of the greatest women in America, Katharine Graham, died yesterday. And
was she that old white woman?
Yeah, she's that old white woman. She was a publisher, okay? She was an accomplished woman.
Yeah, why don't you tell all those bedtime stories, man, to your white daughter, okay? I work on Wednesdays. I would work Friday and Saturday, but I go to clubs.
You need to get off the white thing. You need to get off the white thing. The white people aren't holding us down.
Hold on.
You're holding yourself down.
Why don't you work on Friday and Saturday nights?
Because that's the night I go to clubs.
Oh, that's the night you go to clubs.
Yeah, I do
maybe
salsa.
Maybe you should be working on your Spanish on those nights instead of going to the club.
If your husband's not making more money than you, it's like you took his balls from him and put them in your panty
that's
drawer.
That's absolutely wrong.
Okay, all right. Jerry, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. You're listening to The Phil Henry Show.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
One time, Mr. Henry, my girlfriend took her cat
right
over to the animal hospital and had to have it spayed. Not like spayed, she had like the testicles removed by way of the doctor going and removing them.
Okay.
And what she did to me, by going out and getting a higher paying job than me, I might as well have been a cat with my legs spread, having the doctor detesticalize me.
You feel like you were deballed.
I feel like I was deballed. And that's what I'm talking about. In the Latin culture, you don't do that to the man. Okay? Someday, I will work my way up to floor manager at Toys R Us because they have an application process out right now.
Did you put your application in the Toys R Us?
Yes, I did. But until that time comes, she needs to understand.
All right, let me go to a phone call here. Crystal, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
So recognize y'all got a daughter to take care of. How is you going to make your girlfriend take a lower paycheck just because you feel like you ain't no man?
Well, I can take care of my little girl, no problem, okay?
Well, your wife, I mean, your girlfriend wants to take care of her daughter, too.
Yeah,
she wants to be more.
But
she does
why?
Not want to stay where she is. She wants to move up.
Okay, right now I got my application in the Toys R Us.
Yes, that's you. We're talking about her. She needs to move on. Wait for you to bring yourself up.
But she's going to move on to make me look like I got no ball sack?
Well, then you ain't got none.
Well, wait a second. Are you currently working right now at any job?
Yes.
Where do you work?
I work in a library.
Okay. Does your boyfriend, like, make less? My Lupita, she took my balls away. Why won't she give them back?
Because she wants to be better than what she is now.
Is she thinking about...
If you don't feel that she could be better without... If she can't be better with you...
Okay.
Then she needs to leave you.
Okay, no. If she continues to make more money than me, then I'm going to, tell her she must leave. She must go away from my
door. I would say bye-bye.
She must go away from my door and never to come to my door again until such time as she goes back to the receptionism job she has.
Oh, my God.
Receptionism job?
No.
I'm a Latin man. This is all about my culture.
Well, you may be a Latin man yourself, too. Oh. I don't care.
All right. This got nothing to do with...
She needs to be better. She's trying to take care of her daughter.
This got nothing to do with...
The more she has to give her, will be able to have
I got
future.
Frustration. But I got frustrations, okay? Number one, I don't even speak Spanish.
No, but you got to think of your daughter.
I want to be the best
daughter.
It's
not just you and her. If it was you
but
and
Crystal,
her,
Crystal.
Then that would be you.
Right.
But Crystal,
still,
I want
a daughter to take care of. You can't think of yourself in your frustration and because you don't feel like no man. If you don't feel like no man, then you need to start taking care of your daughter the more you can.
No, but I want to be the best father for Lupita Jr.
Okay, you be the best father you can. But then your wife is trying to be the best woman, the mother.
Is your daughter
the best she can.
Your daughter's name is Lupita Jr.?
Yes, sir. And I want to be the best father I can for her, but my girlfriend has my balls.
Well, then you need to take them back.
For her, she's got to stop that job, okay? This is all about Latin.
No, she doesn't
this is all about economic
self-determination
of the Latin
male.
Okay? And I don't even speak Spanish. I don't...
Well, then learn.
Do you know
they
what...
have books at the library where there is a dictionary.
I don't have to...
You can
I
learn,
go to club
and nowadays in these schools...
Yeah, but
they
I go clubbing on Friday night.
...for people to learn different languages.
Hey, do
you Thank
know what... You. What does San Francisco mean?
San Francisco, he says... I don't know, because I don't
It means St. Francis.
I'm learning French.
It means St. Francis.
Okay?
Yeah.
That is not my first language. That is my second language.
You're learning French? That's
yes.
got nothing to do with the Latin man
no,
in America today.
No, but if you want to learn Spanish,
That's
learn
some
it.
Kind of a fag. That's fag.
Come on, watch
fag?
The leg.
Okay, thank you. I am a fag. But still,
I want to raise my daughter to know her
Spanish,
place with whatever man she winds up doing.
Okay.
There is no other way you can learn.
You got it, Crystal. Okay, Crystal. Thank you for your call. Thanks for the call. I got to move on here. 1-800-449-8686. Lorraine, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hendry.
Yes, ma'am.
I have heard a lot of talk shows, and yours is very interesting.
Thank you.
But this stupid gentleman you have on now, I don't think he is a gentleman.
What, are you talking to me?
I'm talking to the host,
wait
Mr.
A second.
Henry.
So
would you please
I will not allow you to
deball
me.
Seconds?
You can't deball me like that.
You've been to balls so long
you
ago, honey, you don't even know it.
You're taking my balls away from me and
Mr.
putting them in your
Henry,
purse.
Look, just
I
be quiet.
I wouldn't even bother.
I understand, ma'am.
I wouldn't even bother having that moron on the show.
I take this old lady
she
off the air right
so
now.
Rude,
I think
so
she's
so stupid.
She's blowing it. She's blowing it.
That, you know, I feel very sorry for him.
You look, Mr.
He's
Henry.
So dumb
okay.
that it's pitiful.
I'm dumb. I just want to leave the economic self-determination
you,
of the Hispanic
I hope
people.
You put them off.
And that lady is deballing you, Mr. Henry.
No, she's giving me her opinion.
Look at that. She went snip snip on your nutsack.
Great, man. She's just giving me opinion about my show.
Well, I mean, all I'm trying to...
I know all you're trying to do is the economic self-determination of Latin people. And meanwhile, you're rapping about your girlfriend making more money.
No, but...
And everybody's trying to tell you to raise yourself up and get a better gig if you don't dig the one that you got. And what do you mean you got your application in for floor manager at Toys R Us?
Right now, yes, I do.
Well, good, man. Is that more bread than you're making parking cars?
Yes, sir. Right now, it would be more money.
Well, good. Then go for that gig.
But that's like 2 years of training, okay? I got to go to school to learn all of the GoBot selection. Also, you don't even get the keys.
Yeah?
you don't get the keys to the cage where they keep the video games until 6 months into your job.
Well, so what, man? Are you still making the same bread?
You're making the same bread, but it's like they don't have respect for the Latin man. You know,
no, what do you mean respect? They don't give you the key. What's the cage?
Do you know when you go to Toys R Us?
Yeah.
And there's a cage there where they keep the video games?
Yeah.
They don't let you have the keys to that for like 6 months.
And that's some disrespect of the Latin male.
Yes, sir, it is. Yes, sir, it is.
Oh, come on, man. That's the way they do business. They got to lock those video games up because they're hotter than freaking hotcakes. Those kids, I know at Christmas time, let me tell you something.
Look, man, I don't want to hear your Irish problems, okay?
And quit referring to my ancestry. I'm not knocking yours. I'm just asking you if you're bugged about the bread your girlfriend's making, put in your...
Look, I will have to learn all the Barbies and accessories. That's at least 8 months.
Yeah, it's an education. You got to learn the Barbies, the GoBots. Jesus, what a job.
You making fun of it?
No, I just... Liz, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, I really don't believe what I'm hearing here tonight.
Neither do I.
I just happened to pick up this station on the way home, and this guy, he says somebody's taking away his balls.
That's right, ma'am.
He doesn't have any balls. You don't have any balls.
No, that's because my girlfriend...
If you had balls, then you would go to work and do something other than park cars.
My girlfriend,
you go back and get you an education and get you a job making more money.
Well, ma'am, I'm trying to do that right now. I got my application in at Toys R Us.
I don't think you are. What's Toys R Us? How's that going to help you any?
I could get the floor
manager. Without an education, you're going nowhere.
I got to get the floor manager job at Toys R Us. Then I get to keep...
You'll be lucky to keep it with no education.
Oh, I do currently have my GED, okay?
You don't even speak Spanish, and you want to get into the Hispanic community, the Latin community, and do a lot of stuff.
But, okay, I'm getting up on that. I'm trying to learn different Spanish.
Well, you don't even know what San Francisco means.
If you don't know it by now, then I don't know when you're going to learn it,
okay.
But you need to leave your girlfriend alone. In fact,
right.
If I were she, I would tell you where to go, to go, and how to get there.
Well,
thank you very much.
No, wait a second. My lady got her head all messed up from too much Aquanet fumes, thinking she can go and make more money than me. That's all I'm saying.
What do you mean, Aquanet fumes?
Latin women spray their hair with Aquanet.
And then what?
She breathed too much of it and thought she could go get herself a better job.
Well, look what she did. She went out and got a better job, man.
But that might have been the Aquanet fumes.
What? She's imagining the job?
No, I'm just saying. Look, if I pass the interview, I'll have to take a pee test, so I'll have to buy some clean pee. And I don't know.
Dude, you got so many problems, man. If you got to worry about...
Do you know where...
Yeah, that's right. I'm the guy to call. I'm the man to call. Phil Hendry, he knows where the clean pee is. You got it. I'm the guy.
Mr. Henry, you have been putting down my culture.
I'm not putting your culture down, and you know it. And if you got to know how to buy clean pee, and you can't park cars on a Saturday night because you, whatever the hell you did.
What do you mean, what I do?
You're going to clubs or some crap. Then you got some serious, serious trouble. And then on top of that, you think your girlfriend's imagining that she got the job because she's breathing Aquanet fumes. Dude, you're right there with her because you believe she got the gig too. What are you spraying your hair with?
That's cold, man.
Yeah, that's cold. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
We are, in this segment, going to tackle the very, very controversial correction system in the United States of America. We have been granted the unusual opportunity to interview a prisoner who's in what is called the Maximum Security Capital Crime Block of the New Mexico State Prison at Diablo Mountain. It is, of course, otherwise known as Death Row, and we are going to do our very best to be as objective as we can. Mr. Austin Amarca is on the line with us. Mr. Amarca, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
Mr. Amarca, you were convicted in 1987 for the murder of 12 Girl Scouts and their fathers at an Indian Princess campground just outside of Santa Fe, New Mexico. Is that correct?
Well, sir, I'm innocent of that crime, as I've stated in five different appeals to the appellate court.
But you were sentenced to death by lethal injection. Is that correct?
That is correct, but I was in Phoenix, Arizona the night of those murders at a restaurant.
Yeah, but but police say that your DNA was all over the site.
Well, it was planted there by the police, so...
Okay, let me ask you before I get into it, why would the police plant your DNA?
Well, the lead investigator, Captain Gutierrez, I had sold his sister-in-law. I admitted I'd rolled back the odometer, but I'd sold her a car that I'd rolled back the odometer on, so they want to get back.
All right, okay. So they made you for a murder that you didn't do because you ripped off this guy's sister. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, in any event, police say there were four murder weapons used by you, a mason's trowel, three lengths of rope, a shotgun, and a length of iron pipe. You killed 12 people with these implements, and it took forensics and the coroner a week to identify the victims. And by all accounts, you're a vicious and you're apparently an unrepentant mass murderer who's better dead. So how do you dispute all of that?
Well, my case is very involved. Now, the DA did not allow testimony from Shorty Shea, who's a very dear friend of mine. And I was at his mobile home that night. And Brandy Wine, who's a young dancer.
Hold on for just a minute. Wait a minute. Okay, I've got a news bulletin here. Are you with me, Mr. Marca?
Yes, sir, I am. But I'm telling you, I am innocent. And being on death row, there's 12, 24. How many was there killed?
12 girls and their fathers. That's 24.
All right, I'm sorry, but...
Hold on, I got a news flash here. We've just got this in from the Supreme Court in Washington. Okay, here it is. This may be of some interest to you, Mr. Amarca. They have ruled that executing mentally retarded murderers violates the constitutional ban on cruel and unusual punishment. So I suppose if you were going to get out of your murder rap, that'd be one way. But they obviously you're not retarded, and they've got you dead to rights. Now, getting back to what we were talking about, there were 12. Are you there, sir?
I'm here.
Okay, this is Mr. Amarca? Is this the Mr. Amarca that I was just speaking with?
Yeah,
uh-huh. All right, you murdered 12 Girl Scouts and their fathers using pipe, rope, and a mason's trowel. How'd you do it?
I don't know.
Sir, are you trying to tell me that you're mentally retarded?
I don't know.
Wait a minute. Just got this news bulletin in. They are now going to execute mentally retarded people, so I guess they're off the hook there.
Yeah, that's too bad. But anyway, I was telling you...
Aha!
What?
What do you mean, what?
What did I do?
One minute you're retarded, the next minute you're not?
Are you goofy or something? I've been sitting here talking to you.
Just 5 seconds ago, you were acting like you were retarded.
No, sir, I was not.
That wasn't you.
No, sir, it was not. Jesus. You all right?
I'm fine.
I've done interviews with Mike Wallace, Ed Bradley, even though he's black, I didn't mind him interviewing me, and all kinds of people, and you're the first one that's ever yelled at me or treated me less than the dignity would require of an incarcerated prisoner in the federal system.
I apologize. I didn't mean to yell. It just... Anyway, your case had 5 different appeals.
Yes, sir, it did, and for good reason, too. And
how do you explain your DNA being there?
Well, the problem is that the arresting officer was related to another cop I had a run-in with up in Oakland, California in a crap game.
Now, all right, hold on for just a minute, sir. The Supreme Court has now, okay, they've had a reversal of that ruling. They are now ruling that they cannot execute mentally retarded murderers. All right, that just in. Go ahead.
My appeal, then, they would not let me have it. I said.
Is this Mr. Amarca?
I don't know.
What do you mean when you appealed you held up a nanner?
I had like a nanner sandwich.
Oh, you mean the appeal being a banana? Is this Mr. Amarca?
I don't know.
This just in, the Supreme Court says they're not going to execute mentally retarded people. Mr. Amarca, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay.
What?
What do you mean, what?
Anyways, I was saying, Mr. Henry...
What do you mean, what? Just a minute ago, I asked you about a peel, and you said you wanted a nanner sandwich.
I don't know what you're talking about. All I'm telling you is that...
Every time I say that they will not execute mentally retarded people, you act like you're a retard, and then when you say that you...
How dare you use the word retard? I have a younger sister who's been afflicted with Down syndrome since she come down with it on her 21st birthday. She caught it over here at a campground. And now you're saying the things you're saying. I'm very, very...
Yeah, hold on for a minute. Oh, look at that. The Supreme Court says that they will not execute mentally retarded people. You were saying...
My sister is a, like, nanner. She like a nanner.
Wait a minute. Now they are going to execute them.
And she's a very lovely girl.
Now they're not going to execute them.
I like you.
Okay, that's what I thought.
What?
They're going to execute mentally retarded guys.
Tough luck for them, isn't it?
Yeah. Wait a minute. No, they aren't.
Okay.
Forget it.
Bye.
See ya. Next time, will you get me a real guy that's on death row, please? Nanner sandwich. The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Bye-bye.
Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
Very interesting article in an online magazine called AskMen.com about stripping for your woman. Now, what does that mean? It means that women, wives, girlfriends would like to see their men do a little sexy strip dance for them. And there's a number of places where you can actually learn how to dance seductively for your woman. And there are also groups of dance studios that'll teach you these things. Chris Norton is president of Chris Norton Entertainment, who will teach men how to do this kind of seductive dancing. You also do some mobile DJing, isn't that right, Chris?
Yes, I do. So we're available for parties, dances, bar. I can never get that word. Bar. The
bar mitzvahs.
Yes, sir. We have a number of different entertainment options at Chris Norton Entertainment. This showing women how their men can dance sexy for them is the newest aspect of our business because it is overlooked in the relationships between men and women. I think we often think the women are the ones that are supposed to be sexy, but men can be sexy too, as we teach it at our out studios as well as our in studios.
So you'll go to the home and teach the men?
What we do is we find out what the women like to have the men do. And we found that women want to have their men be a little unpredictable and be a little different. And the women that I've talked with, and in some instances, what's happening in America right now is a lot of marriages are on shaky ground. And I'm a single man, and I don't mean to... I don't want this to reflect badly on women, but I have slept with... Because I'm single, but I have slept with... A lot of married women, and that is a tragic aspect to the decline of marriage, that they're seeking the company of men extramaritally because their men are not sexy.
You're saying that you have slept with married women? I mean,
yes, sir, I have.
All right. Well, what has that got to do with your business? In other words...
Well, what it does, Mr. Henry, is it teaches me what women want, because there's a lot of unhappy women out there, married women that are unhappy.
So your business, in other words, Chris Norton Entertainment, teaches men how to dance for their wives. Is that right?
An aspect of our business does, but with a twist. I dance first for the wife so that she can approve of the moves that I will then, our Chris Norton Entertainment teachers will then teach the men. So I dance first for the wife. She watches the moves. Then she'll tell me which moves she likes, which ones she doesn't, and which ones she wants me to teach her husband. I know how successful I am sexually, and I want to pass it on to guys. I want guys to have the same success as I have. But a lot of guys have trouble being sexy for their woman. They think that just walking in with, you know, naked into the bedroom is enough. It's not, guys. It's not. That's why a lot of women are experimenting with unfortunately you'll be seeing this too. A lot of women are experimenting with other women. And you're going to be seeing, tragically, a lot more lesbian sex, probably in the next couple of years. I think it's tragic because there's so many good marriages out there.
All right. A lot of women are experimenting with other women.
That's true, yeah.
Okay. My wife, Maria, her best friend took your course, and she confided that there is some disrobing on the part of the woman?
Well, let's just back up. Women are so used to having to lie about what turns them on, faking certain physical responses, that it's tough to know. So what I ask is that they either remove their top, and this is very, a little bit out there, but there is no sex involved, and I want to be very clear. I'm not having sex with these wives. These are the wives of men that they want to teach to dance sexy, but I want to know if what I'm doing is going to turn them on so their husbands will be turned on.
Okay, so you walk into a person's home. Is the husband there? And I'm getting the feeling that the husband isn't there?
No, this is a surprise for him.
All right, so now you're in a woman's home, and you're asking her to disrobe. Is this correct?
Okay, there is no sex involved, Mr. Henry.
No, I know that, but are you asking her to take her clothes off?
No, sir, I'm asking to remove either the top or her underwear so that I can see certain physical responses. I can assure all the husbands out there, I never lay a hand on these women. There's no sass, but I do monitor their bodies for reaction because if I'm doing my job...
You're monitoring their bodies for reaction?
Yes, sir, but that's what makes Chris Norton Entertainment such a specialized field. I customize for the ladies. It's very important to understand.
So they take off their top or...
Or their underwear.
Or their underwear, and you're monitoring for certain physical responses?
Yes, sir.
All right. Hold on. I want to give our number out here, Chris. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Would you like your husband to dance sexy for you? Chris Norton will teach him how, but first he dances for you, the woman of the family, to find out if what he's doing is the right thing. Are you successfully, are you actually going into women's homes and they're gladly taking their tops off?
Well, sometimes I need some coaxing. But I have to tell you, and I don't mean to be egotistical, but I am very good looking, and I put women at ease. I loosen them up. Women, when they see me, automatically get loose. Areas of their body will loosen just because I am handsome.
Well, what would you say to a man who is not necessarily happy about his wife taking her clothes off?
First of all, I think you're being inaccurate. We're not asking...
Okay, you're not asking her to take her clothes off. It's either the top or her underwear.
Yes, sir, that's correct.
What do you say to a man who's not happy about that?
Well, I mean, one of the things that I do is I bring a six-pack of Seagram's YY Spitzer, and sometimes women like that. But I would say there's no pain, no gain. I rock and roll. I teach men how to turn on their wives in a way that's never been done before. I get the reaction of the wife first. So the dance that I teach is customized specifically for his woman.
All right, and the big question...
I mean, for women are so desperate to be happy in bed, and most men just do not pleasure their wives. The first thing you need to do is teach them to dance sexy, to have a sexuality. And the only way I know that what I'm going to teach their husbands is going to have an effect on them is to see some physical reaction. That's why I do ask them with great respect to either remove their top or their underwear, and that way I can see what's going on.
All right, the big question that I got to ask you is, do you take your clothes off?
No, sir, I do not. I strip to a tank top and my underwear, and that's it.
You take off all of your clothes except for a tank top and some briefs or something?
Yes, sir, brief underwear. There's nothing sexual. I do need for the woman to remove part of her clothing for that.
All right. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, and I know that you have some of the music there, and you're going to demonstrate a little bit of what you do with your dance routine.
That is correct. And again, Phil, I think you're not fair when you emphasize there is no sex.
All right, I know that you're not having sex with these men's wives, but what you are doing is you're asking the woman to remove part of her clothing so you can see a certain reaction that she's having physically.
That is correct.
All right, I don't want you to get graphic.
No, I won't.
But I think we could probably imagine. And then you will do a dance. She'll approve of the moves?
Yeah, that's exactly right. We want the women to approve of the moves so that we know when we finally take the men in the studio and teach them to dance for their wives, they're doing exactly, and I mean exactly, what the woman wants to do.
All right, Chris Norton with us. Very unusual and unorthodox entertainment company where they will teach men how to dance sexy for their wives by first dancing sexy for the wife themselves, finding out what she likes, and then teaching it to the men. Sounds innocent enough. He says that there is no sex involved at all with the woman, although they do request that the woman remove some of her clothing so they can, quote, tell if there are certain physical reactions that are being manifested.
And one more thing, Phil, if I could.
Go ahead.
If a woman does not show some sort of arousal when I dance, then I tell her that there's nothing that I can do for her, and I only take the deposit then.
So that, well, how much is this?
Well, the entire course is $800, but we do ask for a $200 deposit.
So if she doesn't get excited by what you're doing,
then there's no charge except we do keep the deposit. But I can guarantee you this.
You keep the $200.
Right, but I can guarantee you women will be very happy if they with what we can do for them.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. As the summer months approach and as people relax, and I guess they're getting more into thinking about romance and sex, Mr. Norton's company will teach your husband, or you guys out there, he'll teach you how to dance sexy for your wife by first demonstrating for the woman. Now, I told you that a best friend of my wife took this, had him come in and show her, you know, what he would do, and that's what I found out about this disrobing thing, where they ask the woman to take off a part of her clothing so they can, quote, see if the arousal's happening. 1-800-449-8686. In a moment, we're going to talk a little bit more with Chris. He's also going to demonstrate some of the dance moves. I don't know that I'm happy with everything that he is saying. It's one of the things we do in our program. We try to expose some businesses, bring them into the light of day, and make sure that they're what you would want to bring into your own home. 1-800-449-8686. This is The Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. Chris Norton with us from Chris Norton Entertainment on how to arouse women with a sexy dance. And he'll teach men how to dance sexy so that their wives will get aroused. But the difference, Chris, is you do it for the women, right?
Yes, sir.
Why not just teach the guys?
Because, again, we have to know exactly what turns the women on. And also, women are like, if you know women the way that you know, I mean, I know women, and they're like Pavlov's, I think it's Pavlov's dogs?
Yes, Pavlov's dogs. In other words, they're reactive?
Yeah, there's a certain thing that a woman will react to sexually if you know what you're doing. And dancing sexy, believe me, is the way to get a woman to react. Most men are not familiar with that. I am. And the reason why I am is because I've just spent a lot of years being around a lot of women. And the other thing, as I mentioned at the beginning, Mr. Hendry, it's nothing that I'm proud of, but it is part of my ability to arouse women. I've, you know, for good or for bad, I've slept with a lot of married women. And
yeah, so you were saying. So that gives you some insight?
Well, don't get angry. There's no reason to get pissed.
I'm not pissed. I mean, you already said that you...
That's what I do. In my experience, the only way a woman can be excited is if a man dances for her first. That most women fake orgasms. They fake their responses. the way you really know when a woman's turned on, if you can do a sassy, sassy dance for her. And fortunately, it's something that I know how to do and something that we can teach the guys.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is our number in the Phil Hendry Show. And you are going to give us an example of your style?
Well, that's, yeah, I mean, I can't do it for you in the studio there.
But you have the music, right?
Yes, I do. What we do is we use a very tasty piece of Euro pop called Too Sassy. I'll go ahead. Lance Germain series, my business manager. Go ahead and hear
it. I'm too sick.
Can you hear that, Phil?
Love to
yeah, turn it up a little bit.
I love going to leave.
Now, here I go. I'm just going to. Yeah. Okay. All right. The first thing you want to do is just get loose. Just kind of loosen up the body. Get very loose. Use some moves that a woman will immediately recognize. Now, right here, I bend over and I grab my ankles.
My shirt.
Now, I bend over and I grab my ankles. Now, 2, 3, 4. Now, I do a leapfrog over a chair. Now, what I do is I bring along a copy of a...
Are you in a studio right now doing this?
I'm in a dance studio now. Next thing that you want to do right here, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Now, I'm doing jumping jacks. I'm doing jumping.
Too sexy for your body. I'm sorry?
I'm sorry, sorry. I dropped the phone. I got a headpiece. Kill it for a minute. I'm sorry. I got to get a headpiece in for my phone if you don't.
Okay.
Okay, so this way I can talk to you and I can dance at the same time. I'm sorry, Phil.
If you got a handheld phone, it's kind of tough, huh?
Yes, it is.
By the way, we're talking with Chris Norton from Chris Norton Entertainment. He will demonstrate sexy dances for women so that they can approve of these dances so he can teach the husbands, right?
Yes, then we teach. I don't teach the husbands. We have a staff of teachers that teach the husbands. I only work with the women. I'm not interested in working with men, but I will. I do the initial consultation with a wife, then I teach the men because they're. I don't teach the men because they're intimidated by my sexuality, most of them. So
you do not give personal instruction to the guys?
No, sir, I don't.
And that's because they're intimidated?
Most guys that meet me know that I got a lot going on, and they get intimidated. They don't loosen up, and I need for them to loosen up.
All right, go ahead. Do you have the music there?
I got it right here. We go.
I am too sexy for my love.
Yeah, okay.
Too sexy
right.
For my love. Love okay. Going to
this is phase 1, 3, 4. Boom. I'm bending over, and I'm grabbing my ankles now. Also, Phil, one of the important things for a lot of guys is continually purse your lips and form the letter O with your mouth. Just go, and breathe, you know, like that. Okay, now, I do a leapfrog over the chair. Now, the other thing I do, and this is something that's unique to Chris Norton Entertainment, we do some Macarena-style arm movements.
I can't envision this.
That's okay. Okay, now... I bring along a copy of a Harlequin romance novel, and women love to read these books. What I do is I clench it right between my buttock cheeks and hold the book between the cheeks. 2, 3, 4. Now I'm doing stretches.
I'm sorry, what are you doing?
I'm doing stretches. I'm stretching my... I'm just doing stretches.
Okay, kill the music for a minute, all right? Kill the music for a minute.
Kill it, Lance. Lance? I'm sorry?
You're doing stretches?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Now I take my finger and I stick it in and out of my ear. In and out, in and out. One of the things I'm able to do here, Phil, I'm going to do this a big move. I can turn the pages of the Harlequin romance with my butt muscles right now. And I know you can't see this, but this is...
Chicks dig this, huh?
Well, a lot of guys, these are just moves, Lance, turn down. These are moves, Phil, that I have found have been successful, that a lot of women have wanted me to do.
On the kettle. Yeah, on the kettle.
Now I grab my ankle, I hold it, and as simple as that, it's very sexy. And now I'm up on my toes. Now I eat a peach, which is very suggestive. I have a peach here. I just let the juice drip down my face. Yeah. Now, a lot of women, as crazy as this sounds, give me the hula hoop. As crazy as this sounds, a lot of women like me to use a hula hoop. So, okay. Okay, so right now, hula hoop.
What are you doing now, man?
I've got a hula hoop. And then I have two major final moves. Okay, here's now I'm juggling fire.
Okay, man, if you got fire right now.
Yeah, now a lot of neck rolls. A lot of neck rolls. Rolling the neck and sticking out the tongue. Roll the neck, stick out your tongue. Roll the neck, stick out your tongue. Kill it. Last, turn it down. This is very important, Phil. I wanted to let the guys know. It's very important that you do a lot of neck rolls and you stick your tongue out while you're doing it. Go ahead. You can try it in the studio, Phil.
Okay, so what am I doing?
Do some neck rolls and stick your tongue out.
I feel like a jackass.
Well, I know, because the sensuality is probably not there, but you can work it up.
Okay. I am too sorry
two, three,
my
four,
love.
Two. Okay, I forgot where I was now. Okay, what did I do last, Phil?
I think you were in the hula hoop. No, you were juggling fire.
All right, okay, so I'm putting that down. Okay, now I have two major final moves. The first one I'm going to do right now.
Yeah.
Okay, what I just did, Phil, is I turned around and spanked myself with a hairbrush. Now here comes the big final move. Get the egg. Get the egg.
Okay, when you say get the egg.
Hold on. Here we go. Two, three, four. Yeah, that's perfect. Okay, what I did, Phil, is I did a I did the splits over an egg and I cracked it. And,
All right, so when do the men find out? Do you teach the men?
No, again, once the women have signed their husbands up, then we move them on. I'm sweating.
All right, you dry off there. 1-800-449-8686. Chris Norton will teach your husband to dance sexy. He'll teach you guys to dance sexy. I'm sorry, Chris.
Lessons are done nude, and I don't want to be naked with a guy, so.
Are you nude in front of the wife?
No, I'm not nude in front of the wife, but when we give the lessons to the men, everybody's nude. Because it helps free up a lot of energy.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, Chris Norton from Chris Norton Entertainment is with us, and he'll teach men how to dance sexy for their wives, but you first demonstrated to the women.
That's correct, yeah. And I wanted to review, Miss Harry, what I just did.
Yeah, but this dance you just did is not what you'll do, not what you'll teach every man, right?
No, these are all moves that have proven to be the most successful. These are moves that women enjoy. These are moves that women don't usually see when they go to Chippendales or some of the other male strip places that a lot of women like to go to. So we've taken these moves. These are my own moves. And these are moves that I have pioneered and that I use in the dance moves that we teach to the husbands so that the women can be excited. All right, so I'm going to go through this one more time with your indulgence, Phil.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, here we go.
I am too sexy for my love.
Okay, two, three, four,
my love.
One, two, three, four. Now I bend over and grab my ankles. I hold it, I hold it, I hold it. I'm swinging my buttocks back and forth. Now I leap up, now I'm doing jumping jacks. By the way, kill the music, Lance. Kill the music, Lance. I want to let everybody know, these moves are copyrighted so that no one can steal them. Okay, are we on the air?
Yes, we're on the air. All right, so in other words...
Yeah, these moves are copyrighted.
You copyrighted these dance moves?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Okay, two, three.
I am too sexy for my love. Too sexy for my love.
Two, three, four, five, six, eight, ten. Okay, now I bend over, grab my ankles, and now I'm doing jumping jacks. Two, three, four. Now I do a leapfrog over a chair. Now I whip out a copy of the Harlequin Romance that women love to read. And now, boom, I got this clench between my butt cheeks. And I'm holding the book between my butt cheeks.
I'll
kind of hold that move for a while. Now here is something that is completely copyrighted so people won't steal it. Hold, kill the music for a minute, Lance. Kill it. Okay.
Will you come on, man, all right?
What?
I got it, all right? So you're going to turn the pages of the book with your ass. Is that it?
I'm too sexy.
Okay, here we go.
For my love.
Jeez.
Sexy for my love, love.
2, 3, 4. Okay, here we go.
Forget bending over. I got all of that, and I got the jumping jacks. Get to the part where you put the book between the cheeks of your rear end.
Okay. 2, 3, 4. Now the book is between the buttocks cheeks. And page turn. Page turn. Page turn.
I don't know how you're doing that, man. That's out.
Well, believe me, it takes a lot of... Okay, now I do stretches. I'm grabbing my ankle, I'm holding it. And as simple as that is, it's sexy.
Japan.
Now I'm up on my toes. I'm eating a peach, which is very suggestive, and I let the juice drip down. As crazy as this sounds, a lot of women like this next move, the hula hoop move. Here I go.
Okay.
Then I have two major grand final moves. Here comes the first one. Now I'm spanking myself with a hairbrush. Now I'm slapping myself with a belt. Okay, here comes the next move. 2, 3, 4. Ow. All right, I just did the splits over an egg, and I broke it open. Now I'm attaching bacon strips to my nipples with clothes pegs. And now I'll do a somersault over an open watermelon. Now I pretend, this is a move a lot of women like, I'm pretending I'm a dog peeing on a fire hydrant. And I'm
Okay.
Well, what, you do that?
That's fine, turn your...
Lance, turn it off. What?
I pretend I'm a dog peeing on a fire hydrant.
These are all copyrighted moves, okay?
Well, the cats are going to steal those.
But you don't let me slap the side of my hips like Tracy Partridge playing the tambourine. So I do this woo, woo, you know?
Uh-huh.
And the other thing that I do, a lot of the women out there, oh, here it is. Yeah, I'm having a somersault into an open watermelon.
Forget about it, man. Thank you very much, Mr. Norton. Good luck.
Can I give our phone number?
Yeah, go ahead.
Our number is 2 Chris Norton Entertainment, 213-251-3189.
Yes,
I suppose you're bringing along all the bacon and the watermelon. You got a lot of food in your act, man. You bring that along?
Yeah, we bring along a refrigeration truck.
Okay, great. Unfreaking real. There he goes, Chris Norton. His big final move, he puts bacon strips on his nipples and attaches them with clothes pegs. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Florida. Florida. A quadriplegic has sued a strip club in West Palm Beach, charging it violates the Americans with Disabilities Act because the lap dance room doesn't have wheelchair access. This clown sued the Wildside Adult Sports Cabaret last month after visiting the West Palm Beach Club on May 9th and June 14th. The lap dance room is only accessible by a short flight of stairs, according to the suit. It also alleges that the counter around the stage where strippers dance is too high, making it difficult for him to see the stage and set down his drink. Police in Florida have charged a naked man who jumped on top of a young family's car and surfed it. The couple and their 3-year-old daughter were driving through Jacksonville when the man tried to get in their car. They locked the doors and drove off, but he clung to the bonnet, banged on the windscreen, and started urinating. Florida. He then climbed onto the roof, jumped to the ground, and was found in the road not moving. Police say he tested positive for drugs, but he hasn't yet been identified, according to the Florida Times-Union. He was unable to answer questions, but was taken to the jail and booked on indecent exposure and criminal damage charges. Now, what made them think he was on drugs? And what made them think it was necessary to test him? Yeah, you're on drugs. No, I'm not. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Well, no, I swear to God. Well, I don't care. Standing on a roof nude, urinating, you're on drugs. Whether you really are or not, you're on drugs. How can you say I'm on drugs? Because any guy that gets on the roof of a car, nude, tries to surf it, and then pees off the side of it, has got to have some biochemical changes occurring in his body. I don't care if it was externally induced. I don't care if it was some kind of a neurotransmitter depletion. You're on some kind of a chemical imbalance here. Florida. All right. A Florida woman is fighting to fulfill her late husband's dying wish to be buried next to his dog in his back garden. Rick Georges told his wife Beverly of his wish before he died of liver cancer in April. He also sought advice from a lawyer about his plans for himself and his pit bull, Bocephius. But the widow's efforts to get the city of Arcadia's permission for the unconventional internment have upset neighbors, caused a family feud, and attracted national media attention. Officials say the plan violates city codes, which would affect property values and set a bad precedent. The city council makes a decision on the matter next month, said Miss Georges. I'm just trying to do what he wanted. He just wanted to be back there with his dog. A family is suing a Florida cruise company which threw them off a liner for bringing dozens of live bees on board. Florida. They say they were discriminated against because of their Iranian heritage. The Afghani family says the bees were being used to treat two of their children for multiple sclerosis. Some people believe bee venom can treat the symptoms of the illness. The family rebooked, but staff stopped them from boarding again because they found a pressurized carbon dioxide container in their luggage. The family claimed it was planted there. What? Planted there? What? The bee thing is enough. No, I got it. Take this canister of carbon dioxide, stick that in there, and that way we can throw them off, because the Afghanis from Maryland are now suing Miami-based Carnival Cruise Lines, which says the claims are without merit. Security teams first became suspicious. What, so they didn't throw them off because of the bees? Or what are they? Why did they say it? They didn't have bees? They weren't packing bees. Security teams first became suspicious of the couple, their three children, and a daughter-in-law because they kept getting on and off before the ship left port. Family denies this. Around 160 live bees were later found in bottles inside their quarters, and the cruise was delayed for 3 hours while the family were removed. The Afghanis say they drove home hurt and embarrassed after the second incident the following day involving the gas canister. I don't know, Iranians, canisters full of bees, get them off. Get them off. I don't mean to be cruel, but... Florida. Yeah, you know, what are you talking about? You're Iranian. It's the whole 9/11 thing. I'm sure you understand. I don't understand. Well, get the hell out of here, you and your bees. You're giving me the creeps with your bees, all right? Look, I'm not even Arab. I'm Persian. It's fine. It's fine. Just go. Take another ship. Go suck the bee venom out. Stick it in a little container, like one of those water bottles, and then bring it on. Air turns rank by end of tomato wrestling championship. Yes, members of the crowd at Florida's tomato wrestling championship say there was a terrible smell in the air by the time it finished. Eight women entered the competition in Quincy. They wrestled in a huge tub of tomatoes for a $1,000 first prize. An umpire made sure they kept to the rules of wrestling. Only one competitor wore a bikini. Mary Kay Cooksey, who was at the event, said by the end, the smell was rank. It was real hot, and the tomatoes had been out all day and then squashed by the wrestlers. That's probably what made it hot there, Mary Kay, and kind of made it smell, because they got squashed. The contest attracted over 400 spectators to the Bottom of the Hill Lounge Bar. Mrs. Cooksey told the news service, the more they wrestled in the tomatoes, the more they turned to juice. How about that? Florida.
I want to try this new segment out.
Okay, what is it?
Bud Dickman's thoughts. Thoughts and feelings from Bud Dickman.
Thoughts and feelings from Bud Dickman.
Yes. Oh, excuse me. This doesn't meet with your approval.
Look, David, you're the boss. I'll do anything you want. I don't know what that means.
It means he's going to come on with his different impressions and observations about life.
Is my show so bad that I need that?
You want the honest answer.
Yes. Go ahead. I know what it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah. It is that bad. It is that bad. You got some guy on a couple of hours ago talking about how he's going to run off the earth and sue his wife and kid. I'm trying to groom Bud to be be the next Rush Limbaugh. So let him on your show.
You got to be putting me on.
Look, there's a lot of stiff competition. Your show sucks. That's established. Okay, so we need to find the next Rush Limbaugh. And I believe it's Bud Dickman. Damn you to hell, Henry, if you're laughing right now.
I can't help it, okay?
You think that's funny?
Bud Dickman's the next Rush Limbaugh.
Yes! Yes! Suck on that! Now get him on and do it.
Where is he? Come on in, Bud.
Is it my turn now?
Yes, come in.
Is it my turn?
Yes, sit down.
And don't yell at the tard. Where's the music?
What music?
There's supposed to be Bud Dickman intro.
I gave it to him, Mr. Hall, but he threw it into the garbage and said there's no way he'd put me on his show.
Oh, you did you?
I thought he was kidding. I thought he was joking.
Joking about what?
I thought he was kidding when he said that David Hall approved Thoughts and Feelings with Bud Dickman.
Well, I did approve it.
Have you got the music there, Craig?
Go ahead, Bud.
Hi, everybody. I'm Bud Dickman, Thoughts and Feelings, and with me is Phil Henry. And today, we're going to...
Wait a minute. I'm not part of this, am I?
Go ahead.
Today, we're going to talk about how a TV show spawned a phrase that will live down through the corridors of time. It's called Who Wanna Be a Millionaire? You may remember the show. They ask a bunch of questions of people with a million. But there's one phrase that come out of that show. Is that your final answer? Well, there are other TV shows, too, come up with phrases, too. And, Phil, I'm going to ask you which show these different phrases come from.
And this is Thoughts and Feelings.
Just do it!
Okay, Bud. Ask away.
All right. Come on down. You're the next contestant on The Price is Right. What show is that from?
Are you going to answer him?
Well, what do you think I'm going to say to him? The Price is Right?
Wrong. Wheel of Fortune. Now, do you see what I'm talking about?
What's wrong?
What's wrong?
Yeah.
The guy just said to me...
I heard what he said. He said that, is that your final answer? The statement from Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Right.
And then he said, I'm going to give you phrases. Tell me what the show is.
Yeah, and he said, come on down. You're the next contestant on The Price is Right.
Right. What's the answer?
He said Wheel of Fortune.
Okay, move on to the next one.
Thanks, Mr. Hall. And
wait a second.
Henry, you're...
Wait a minute. Come on down. You're the next contestant on The Price is Right.
Wheel of Fortune.
Could it possibly be Price is Right?
No, it said here, Wheel of Fortune.
Oh, well. Where'd you get that, by the way, Bud?
I got it off an internet site.
Think they might have been yanking your chain?
Just shut up and let me do it.
Go ahead.
All right. I'd like to buy a vowel.
I'd like to buy a vowel. That's from Wheel of Fortune.
No, Family Feud.
Are you an idiot?
All right, I told you not to call the tard an idiot.
Well, what does he mean, I'd like to buy a vowel, Family Feud?
Mr. Hall, every time I try to do something that's cool on a show, he make me look dumb.
I'm making you look dumb? I'm making you look dumb.
You see, Phil, the problem is you don't like the fact that Bud's going to be the next Rush Limbaugh. And I'm grooming him for that.
Yeah, you got a real winner here, man.
Well, if you're being sarcastic, I'll deal with you later.
How can you have this guy be the next Rush Limbaugh when he says, come on down, you're the next contestant on The Price is Right, is a phrase from Wheel of Fortune?
I think the kid's got great potential. Go ahead, Bud. Give us some of your feelings on the issues of the day. Like, what about them terrorists?
What's he doing?
He's clearing his throat.
I'm clearing my throat.
Oh, will you get to it?
I'm Bud Dickman. I think terrorism is bad. Just get your phone calls on that. 1-800-449-ACIS-ACIS.
What do you think? Jealous.
Hey, Bud, what show is this from? It's the NFL Game of the Week.
Tattletales?
Right.
Very good, Phil. You got into the spirit of it.
Yeah, you got it. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.